What's up, everyone? Taylor May here with Security VIP. I want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of our podcast series, Your Home for Nothing But the Truth. And hey, if you're passionate about sharing the unfiltered truth and want to be featured in a community that's all about it, Security VIP is your home. Our community boasts over 2,500 end users in the security industry, spanning from sectors such as retail, gaming, entertainment, education, professional sports, healthcare, government, and even more. So whether you're eager to boost your company's visibility, showcase cutting-edge technology, or you want to address key industry changes, Security VIP is the platform for you. So if you're ready to dive in, shoot us an email at info@securityvip.net, or you can connect with us on LinkedIn at SVIP. Remember, Security VIP is your home for nothing but the truth, and we look forward to featuring you in the next episode. Stay safe.
You think you know me.
Today on Security VIP, we feature the CEO of Servily, Elijah Rosenberg. Get ready for nothing but the truth. In a broken dream, and we'll leave it all
behind. On this day, what's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Security VIP podcast, your home for nothing but the truth. As always, I am your host, Taylor May. It is Friday today, and I get to sit down with a very, very good friend of mine. He is the founder and CEO of a company called Servily, Eli Rosenberg, man. He lives in the beautiful state of Florida. You know, the one thing about Florida that Texas does not have is good quality beaches, and this guy gets to be around beaches 24/7. So, but beyond the atmosphere that this guy lives in, he is someone special because, as most people know, I've developed a lot of relationships with consumers, with end users. And more often than not, whether it's a company I'm representing, whether it's a company I'm pitching or working full time for, I'm 99% of the time, I'm always on the end user side. So whether it's something I'm pitching to them or not pitching to them, I want to make sure that they are set up success no matter what challenge or solution they're looking for. So Eli, my friend, welcome to the show, man. Happy to have you on.
I appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity. Funny enough, you talk about my, where my location is. And about 3 weeks ago, I relocated up to upstate New York. Which is kind of funny because most people are leaving the Northeast to go down to Florida. But we did that a little bit earlier in life. Grew up in upstate New York and moved down to Florida about 12 years ago. And just decided that it was time to come back, and we have family up here, and my daughter is growing up now, and so kind of empty nesters, and she moved up to Boston and figured that it was a little bit closer of a drive than taking a flight to go see her for her to come see us. So but again, very much appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. I love the format and the what you do and what you represent. It's everything that we at Servily look to accomplish. So
no, man, the pleasure is all mine. It's always interesting, man, how many people jump from Jersey or New York to Florida for maybe like the holiday or like the summer, and then they flip-flops. But it's cool, man, that you're back upstate. But I guess for my listeners, man, just give us a backstory about who you are. We talked about this before I kicked this off. The reason why I appreciate you a lot is because you're coming from that end-user perspective. But tell my listeners exactly who you are, and then let's lead into the conversation about Servily.
Sure. So I came from very humble beginnings. Grew up, like I said, upstate New York, little podunk town. Went to SUNY University for 2 years, and right out of college, got a job at a local municipality in the Hudson Valley in New York, and spent 14 years there. Worked my way from a level one technician up to the director of IT and physical security. After that, I got a job at a very high profile municipality down in South Florida, and that's when we moved. Decided to make that move, for the family and for my career. Spent about 6 years there and decided that it was time to, get out of that bubble of government and see what the rest of the world had to offer. Never really traveled much with work and never understood the whole like sales type thing other than being an end user, being a jack of all trades, not a an expert at one thing. And it was kind of interesting going from the end user side to being a senior solution architect, having to be a subject matter expert for one product or one type of solution. And it was very daunting. Had a lot of issues with that. My wife says that I'm a perfectionist. I'm not sure if I agree completely, but as I get older, I kind of see her point. And it was like I said, very daunting to have to be that person that everybody looks to be able to answer questions and not knowing the answer, and you're supposed to. It was a little concerning for myself internally, a little bit of having issues with that. But yeah, so did that for a couple of years, and then went on to another software company in Florida, and then started this. We were laid off during the COVID, and decided, hey, this is a great time to start a new company, raise some money, and 4 years later, here we are. What we did was we really took the mentality of the end user. How would we have liked to have been treated or talked to or contacted, or in what way, and just understanding the real, the nuances, the issues that we went through, to and taking that from the sales perspective, back to the end user and treating them with that respect. No disrespect to any, career salespeople or anything like that. It's just a different approach. It's just
Right.
how we would have liked to have been talked to.
Well, I think what you have, man, that a lot of career salespeople don't have is obviously the experience as an end user, but you've probably heard a thousands, if not hundreds, of sales pitches in your lifetime. And so you know exactly what works and what you want to hear. So I guess for my listeners and my like sales listeners that do pitch to end users or even pitch to integrators, I mean, what would you recommend just from an industry perspective on how to communicate effectively to an end user that's going to establish rapport and establish, a connection immediately?
Yeah, so it's a funny question, because I was asked that when I went to that first sales job, for me to present in front of everybody, and what worked for me as an end user. It's very simple. Listen, go in, and don't be that person that goes in and is trying to sell something or push something. Listen to what the customer needs. You have to understand that. Yeah, this is your job, and you're going and making an appointment to go and meet with them, but you have no idea what they're going through. As far as I would have a task list. Monday morning, come in, and I would probably get one of those things done, because you're putting out multiple fires over the weekend
Right.
and all these different issues. So having a salesperson just coming in and selling something or trying to push something, sometimes people just like to be heard, like, understand what their issues are, what kind of points that they need to make. Let them talk, and that gives you an opportunity to really know if your product or your solution is relevant for them, and it's going to save you both time. It's sometimes, as a salesperson, it's knowing when to walk away, and it all comes down to, like, part of that sales cycle. If it's not a real opportunity, then why are you wasting your time? And then why are you wasting the end user's time as well? So I would say, honestly, just go in, and especially that first call or first meeting, use it as discovery. Learn about the customer, learn about their environment. That's my biggest advice for that.
No, I mean, I 100% spot on. I think the other thing, just to echo that and add on that is just the I think there's a lack of humility sometimes where you're exactly right, where you're forcing product, you're forcing your pitch, you're forcing features, and there's not enough active listening going on, or just basic questions to help you wrap your mind around what the end user is going through. And I think a lot of the times, man, at least I've seen this in my career early on, is even I'm guilty of it. When I was early on, I was just pushing product, pushing product, pushing product, wasn't listening enough. And then I didn't have enough humility to say that there is another solution out there that's better than what I'm offering. And I don't think a lot of salespeople will say that because like, oh, I think mine, they had this like the subjective bias that their solution is the best solution. Nothing else competes their solution. They're not going to recommend a competitor or something different because, that's just they're hurting their paycheck. But I think if you just have that conversation up front and say, you know what, Eli, based on everything that you told me today, man, your business is thriving, but it sounds like you need this kind of solution. My solution doesn't do that, but I do know something and know someone that can help you with that challenge you're experiencing. I just feel like that would be a good recommendation. I mean, do you agree as a former end user, like if your solution's not the best, why not refer someone else that can help?
100%. One thing I say even now is I never bought from a company. I bought from people. So, you with your career, and that's funny. Something that I wanted to bring up is, I was very loyal to my, 14 years in my first job, 6 years my second job. When I went into sales, I didn't understand the whole thing of like jumping from one job to another. Until I got into it, then I understood that your average, tenure is maybe a year and a half. So just be very cautious on when you do, put another product down because you never know when you're going to be actually working for that company. And if you build that relationship with an end user and you go back to them and at that other company, and they're going to be like, wait a second, weren't you just talking trash about this other company? And you start to lose credibility, And like you said, it's difficult in a sales position because you're trying to make your number, you're trying to, be successful, you're putting food on the table for your family. So you start to do things that you may not believe in or you may not agree with, but it's when it's a matter of winning something or losing something, everybody likes to win. And like you said, the whole humility part of it. Sometimes you just gotta say, okay, hey, it's just not a good fit, but there is another solution out there and I can get you in contact with them. It gives you a lot of credibility because people, myself, I remember those type of things. I would say half the people that I still are in contact with from my days in government, I never bought anything from. They just became friends. It was more about the conversation and the networking and actually one of them got me involved or got me my first job in the security industry. I never bought a single thing from him, but he would come and as government they can't even take you out to lunch or do anything like that because it's against policy. So there was nothing exchanged back and forth. It was just good conversation. He never came in tried to push anything. It was more, how's the family doing? How's this doing? It's just being a person, a human being, and having the ability to read the room.
Well, I mean, the reason why I'm bringing this up, and people are going to kind of maybe ponder and be like, why are you? Why, Taylor, are you talking about this right now when we should be talking about Eli's company Severely? And I'm like, well, that's the whole point is I want people to understand that the reason why Eli is making this company successful is because he gets it. He respects it. He understands exactly what the path is, the decision-making process looks like, the conversation to be had, the humane element. He just said it. He just hit on it. But I guess, Eli, let's pivot to the company now. With all that being said, you clearly get it. If anything, that's the biggest advantage, competitive advantage as a salesperson, even as a CEO, that you came from the end user hat. But walk us through the business model of the company, successes. Where do you play in the sandbox? Kind of walk us through, what Severely is all about.
Sure. So, Severely, I'll take you a little bit through the history of the company. Originally, we were looking to be a purpose-built hardware type solution for video surveillance, access control. But as everybody knows, during the pandemic, there the supply chain issues were horrendous, and you just couldn't build a business that way. So we quickly pivoted and started to partner with some of the companies that different solutions out there that we had built relationships with through the end user side, through sales side, and products that we believed in that we felt had similar type mentality and similar type approaches that we did. We're very strategic on who we do partner with. and to make sure that again the partnerships between us and our the vendors are extremely important, but the customer is more important. So as close as a partner is to us, we're going to do what's right for the customer because we're looking for that long-term relationship. We don't want a one and done. We want the ability to long-term lifelong partnership relationship with the end user, with the customer. And so what we are is we are a solution provider. We partner with over 65 different solutions out there. We're not a system integrator. We do some integration work when needed, as far as providing some support and some install services and stuff like that, but that's not our primary business. We like to work in the channel. We like to work with the system integrators and partner with them and provide them with guidance of different solutions that they may not be aware of. And really, it's very interesting the way that the security industry is. And I came from the IT side, so IT is very cutting edge. AI has been out for a long time. Machine learning's been out for a very long time. I was introduced to security industry, and somebody explained it to me very similar to the AV industry. It's like 10 years, 10 years old, older than IT, and set it on fire. That's basically what how they explained it. Things are just kind of a little bit behind the times. There was a report, I think, in 2021 or 2022 that 55% of new camera purchases are still analog. So if that tells you anything, I mean, IP has been out for how long? And we find that when somebody is looking for a solution, a product, they're looking at it just from a very disparate, way of looking at things. So if they're looking for license plate recognition, or they're looking for facial recognition or a VMS, they're looking at it just from that product. We need this. This is what it's supposed to do. And that's it. But we really want to look at it in a different way of integration. So the term integration is really to be able to make other, multiple products or multiple things work together. So how do we take that data? How many years data, everybody says data is king. Well, now there's so much data out there. What do you do with it? What's the benefit of it? So being able to make your access control work together with your VMS, with your LPR, with your facial rec, and any other AI type products out there, and have them work together so that you provide more actionable intelligence. That's the biggest thing. And then, guiding the end users on not just the solution part, but also the policy part. The policies are huge because even as an end user, I worked for a very, very, influential, high power, it sounds funny, government entity. They had very wealthy residents, and they wanted to spend all this money on solutions. And I said, okay, but when you do that, you can spend millions of dollars. But if you don't have any response, or your response is still the same response even without the product, what is it doing for you? You're spending this money, but it's not really doing anything for you. So creating those policies and standard operating procedures, that's the biggest thing, and being able to stick to them. So that's really what Servly is all about, is re-educating the market. Providing guidance and providing solutions, not just from a disparate standalone type solution, but a full-blown solution that fits for the customer, non-proprietary. We don't deal with any proprietary hardware or software or anything. Systems that want to work together, want to play in the same sandbox, and provide a value to the customer. And do what's right for the customer, and not have them looking for other products. We want long-term customers. I mean, it's even in sales, you want long-term customers. You want them to continue to buy from you. And be, you be that, not just subject matter expert, but be that person or that company that, when they need something, they come to you because they trust you, that trusted advisor.
Well, you hit on a lot of good things there. I mean, 100% first time client to a lifetime client. How can I do that? You talked about open versus proprietary. I mean, I'm a huge advocate for open ecosystem, solutions, best in breed solutions that all play well in the sandbox together. And then what's interesting, man, is the other point you brought up is you're right. And what I would echo to this is I think in the security industry, for so long, we have seen some siloed departments across organizations. And I pick on the casino industry a lot in particular because security and surveillance is typically their own department. IT is their own department. And like IT doesn't play nice with security, or IT doesn't play nice with surveillance. And it's just been siloed for so long. But now I feel like that shift is kind of changing because I spoke about this with Imran Hussein, who's the president of Imran Corporation. He puts on these incredible safety and security summits. But we talk about the convergence of physical and cyber because those challenges do coexist. But we talk about just like this shared responsibility element where if you're installing a camera, you're installing a switch, maybe there's a new policy or procedure, SOP that you just spoke about that is being implemented, like the broader organization should have a general understanding of what is being implemented and being installed for XYZ use case, even if it's a someone in marketing, or even if someone in HR, even if someone has nothing to do with security. I feel like there is some level of general shared responsibility now across the industry that multiple departments are no longer being like siloed departments, and I feel like we've done a better job of communicating that to the end user. But I also, again, I spoke about this with Imran. I said, look, we should be continuing to do a better job. We should be bringing this up in our conversations when we do pitch our product or we do pitch a company. Because if I say, Eli, like, how involved are you with, marketing or HR or operations? And you tell me, well, I don't really talk to them. Well, that's when it kind of weakens, right? You kind of create this hole and this gap and say, well, if they're not kept in the loop of what you're doing on the surveillance side or the security side, and God forbid there's an event that happens, active shooter, disgruntled employee, and they don't know what to do or where to go, that just causes a gap in communication and hopefully not a loss of life. But I feel like Eli, I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong, man, coming from the end user perspective now to kind of like the manufacturer perspective, I don't you think we should be communicating around the concept of have saying, hey, how well in tune are you with other departments within your organization? Just in general, do you feel like we should bring that more up in the conversation?
Yeah, and that's, I'm glad you brought that up because it's something that we do as well. There's a couple of different aspects to that. One being just informed, on the end user side, understanding, like you said, what's being installed, what's going on from assets to people to procedures and whatnot. But then from the sales side, being able to have multi-use for different solutions.
Right.
There's so many different solutions out there that provide not just a security thing, a benefit, but it also does provide a an HR benefit or a marketing benefit. If security is putting in, especially like you said, look at the casino industry. They're putting in, thousands of cameras. Wouldn't it be great to be able to utilize that same camera that is already, implemented? The budget's already been placed. They already purchased it. They already installed it. And now use another product with those cameras for marketing purposes,
Yeah.
product placement, people counting, all those type of things that may not be security related, but now your ROI has increased dramatically.
Right.
And you can also spread your budget across multiple departments. So you can, like I said, you can see it from a couple of different aspects. One, just information, being informed of what's going on. And the other, actually a benefit to the organization for revenue generating. Security doesn't generate revenue, but other departments do. Marketing generates revenue because
Man,
we're
I was literally just about to say that we're always viewed as non-revenue generating, right? And so like how do we flip that script? It's just we gotta communicate with those people that got the money, people that are viewed, revenue generating.
Exactly. And we work with a few different products that's exactly what they do. They work both on the loss prevention, but then also on the acquisition, customer acquisition cost. So There, it's a multi-use. Now, when you look at it from a okay, it's $100,000, or just throwing a number out there, for this product. Let's cut it between both departments. One is revenue generating, one is not. Now you're, like I said, your ROI increases dramatically, and you know the cost of use is so much lower because you're actually getting something from it. You're not just waiting for something to happen. You're actually using the data to be able to provide another value to the company.
Well, I think it's something compelling when a VP of security or a director of IT or a CISO or what have you goes to their marketing peer and says, "Hey, I've got applicability with the solution I'm looking at for our security and surveillance teams, but I do think there's applicability for you and what you do for the company as far as visibility, brand visibility, customer attrition and retention, that there's some element here that I think you should take a look at because I think it's going to benefit." And I feel like when a security practitioner does that inside their organization, not only are they doing a service to the company, but they're also viewed internally as like, "Hey, this guy actually cares about making myself or my department look good by implementing something that maybe has nothing to do with him, but maybe it's going to impact me." I just feel like that builds like an internal champion and maybe even calls for a promotion sometimes. And that's what I tell some of these end users, like, how can I get you promoted inside your organization? How can I make you look like a flagship, rock star? And maybe that's my solution or another solution, but like these are the kind of conversations I like to have with, security practitioners, because you're right, Eli. It's just like, dude, like when it comes to those budget decisions, security is typically on the bottom of the list and the first thing to get knocked off the list. So it's like, dude, how can we communicate effectively to our peers inside the organization when it comes to decisions that I want, decisions that they want, and how can we share, work together for that shared responsibility? So, I mean, all these things I'm saying, man, are just like I resonate with so well that I wish other people would do,
Yeah, and you know it's again re-educating, and it's our job as the solution providers, regardless of a single solution or multi-solution, is to inform the end user. Because again, when I was an end user, I didn't have time to research a bunch of these different applications and products that were out there. I would go to ISC and but again, if you've ever been to ISC, the first time, it's extremely overwhelming.
100%.
And half those companies are not even going to be in business the following year for ISC. So
Right.
it's very overwhelming. You don't know what to look at. You don't know what's good, what's not. And that was one thing that I kind of explained what Serverly was early on was, we're kind of your virtual guide to an ISC. We've vetted the products, and these are the products that we feel are long-term solutions and scalable and would fit for our customer base. So it's interesting. I'm glad you brought that up because again, a lot of people don't. A lot of people just they're pushing that one product and they don't really think about anything else. And the end user doesn't have the information or the knowledge to be able to put those two things together that, hey, we can use this for multi-use, or we can use this for this. Because a security person, they're very much, devoted and responsible for, their department. They're not really thinking too much about marketing or HR. And another situation with HR, somebody leaves, it would be nice to be able to HR puts them into the system and
Yep.
automatically puts them into a group that if you have, say, a facial recognition or on your cameras, if that person comes up back on campus where or into the office, you get an alert. Those are those type of integrations that are extremely important and extremely helpful for hopefully mitigating some of that risk.
I would hope most people or most end users are doing that, especially, I mean, you're right. Someone gets fired or someone gets terminated and they've got, ill will towards the company. If they're disgruntled, they want to come back and cause harm or ill to the company. I would hope HR would at least notify security and say, hey, we terminated this person for XYZ reason. Let's put him in the system for at least 90 days to make sure that he doesn't do anything or she doesn't do anything suspicious, because that the workplace violence and disgruntled employees, I mean, that stuff happens constantly. But I have a feeling, man, that I don't feel like a lot of HR people or HR departments are doing that or communicating that to security. I could be wrong. I mean, maybe they are, but I just feel like they're not doing that. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it comes down to policy again, and even with policy, there's, life gets in the way. Somebody gets terminated. Being on the IT side, we had a procedure that if we were informed that somebody was being terminated, we would do a backup of their system, backup of their files, and make sure they didn't delete anything or take anything.
Right.
There were times that HR got busy and they forgot to let us know, and then we had a couple of situations where you end up having to get attorneys involved and all that, and it becomes a much bigger headache. So being proactive, and that brings it back to security as well, as security in general has been so proactive or reactive
Right.
for so long, since the beginning of time. And with these new technologies of being proactive and being able to implement these type of integrations and alerts and notifications, while something's happening or prior to something happening, is extremely helpful in the industry, for life safety, for just for information, just to be able to be alerted. But again, without those policies and standard operating procedures, the information is really nothing. It doesn't mean anything if nobody's looking at it.
Well, I mean, I know. I mean, everything, stuff happens. We're all human, but I think if we can automate that process, or at least have some kind of layer of like, credibility that says, hey, this person is let go, and IT gets a ping, surveillance gets a ping. Even if, HR drops the ball, I would hope that would be more of a standard of practice. But I guess, Eli, as we wrap this up, man, walk me through the path of 2025. I actually like what you said there, the path to ISC. That's a whole different topic I want to talk with you on another episode, because that's a really good comment, because ISC is very, very overwhelming if you're especially new to the industry. But walk me through, man, the path for you and the team for 2025. What are you guys working on? Goals, revenue, professional development? I mean, what walk me through the tr transition to the new year.
Yeah, no, again, I appreciate the opportunity to be on here. And 2025 looks very exciting for us. We have a new product, homegrown, Servly MD. It's a monitoring diagnostics built specifically towards the security industry, where we actually have created the integrations a to APIs for different, VMS, access control, camera systems, all those, to be able to be give you that proactive alerts, give you the observability of your system, not just from the cameras, but the networking, how much PoE is being used per port, how is your infrastructure, your hard drives, just understand the life cycle of your video, and be able to provide alerts to the appropriate people so that you can be proactive if something is not performing as it should be. You can address it prior to something happening. And then obviously, when you go to look at video and the camera's down and you didn't know about it, that's never a fun conversation. I've had that before. But overall, we're looking forward to that coming up, where we'll be releasing that early Q1, our first iteration of it. And we're building, we're growing. We're at 15 employees now. Plan to have another five or eight in the next 3 months, and
Awesome.
sales are increasing. We're actually growing globally now. We have some opportunities in some other regions of the world, which is
Nice.
very exciting. And for a kid growing up in upstate New York and having a global company is it's extremely humbling. And couldn't be more excited and proud of our team, and just what we're working towards and what we hopefully represent in other people's eyes.
Well, when you get that private jet, you're gonna have to let me take a ride on it, man, to go wherever you're going to across the world. But Eli,
That's
man,
right.
what so if people want to learn more about yourself, more about the company, where's the place best place to do that?
Just go to our website, www.serverly.com, and it's SERVERLI.com. It's not serverly, it's serverly. Funny enough, the chunky side of me came up with that for with the whole BurgerFi. So don't know why it just came up. There was, we were looking at something for a server, like a server type name, and we kind of just went with it. So just check us out on serverly.com. We're on all the socials as well. And if you get if anybody is listening and they're interested in hearing more, feel free to reach out through LinkedIn or shoot us an email or give us a call.
Well, ladies and gents, that was Eli Rosenberg, the founder and CEO of Serverly. I highly encourage you just to go check out their company page as well as connect with Eli on LinkedIn. I think what he brings to the industry from the end user perspective, but also just the conversation we had today about how he encompasses himself, his team, and what he's doing for the industry is special. It's unique. And that's just not coming from my own, personal friendship with Eli. I don't get paid or endorsed by anything I'm talking about with Serverly, but I do think when you meet people like this, it's a very unique opportunity, especially for an end user coming from a former end user. So, all right. So, if you want to listen more about our podcast series, you can check us out on svip.news. That is our website. Connect with us on LinkedIn at svip, and we are on every single major streaming platform there is. So, wherever you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, Amazon, the list goes on. You guys stay safe out there. We will catch you guys on the next one.